Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. In 2005, the trend-spotting American technology publisher O'Reilly Media launched Make magazine, kind of popular mechanics for the 21st century geek. Make focuses on hacking consumer products and converting old objects into new ones, sort of a VCR into a programmable pet feeder or a discarded digital camera into a home security system, that kind of thing. Last year, after staging a maker's fair where seamstresses swapped tips with Unix hackers, the same stable launched Craft magazine, which brought the same philosophy to people who didn't happen to have home workshops. Of course, the best ideas tend to happen in more than one place at once, and Wellington, New Zealand has its own modern craft culture. That culture broke the surface this year with Craft 2.0, an exhibition, gathering and market day at the New Douse Gallery. Ryan Hutchings met with the creators of Craft 2.0, Sue Tyler and Martha Craig. Sue explained where they've come from.
Well, Craft 2.0 actually grew out of an earlier craft fair called Craftwork, which was held at Paramount in July last year. Then when the New Douse reopened after 2 years of being closed, they approached us to bring a craft fair there. And we thought, okay, let's do that, but let's do it a little bit special. So that's how we came up with the name Craft 2.0, which is a little bit of taking the piss at the IT world, but also it's like acknowledging that craft has evolved from what our parents and our grandparents used to do.
Yeah.
But this, I mean, the whole phenomenon of people making things, I thought it sort of, without sounding rude, was more something for an older generation.
Yes, and it is something for an older generation, which is where we all learned how to do it, but it's modern and fresh and fun, and I just think it's an extension of art myself. I love art and buy a lot, and also I love beautiful things, and I just think it's an extension for me of beautifully designed things, beautifully designed ceramics, and taking it right to the level of iPod covers and, you know, cool stuff, fun stuff.
Yeah, and I think that's also the thing, is taking some of those skills we've been taught and actually turning them into something modern, giving them a little bit of twist. So I learnt how to do, like, French knitting at school, and I turned that into a cozy for my iPod headphones. And just because that's kind of fun, it serves no function whatsoever, except it looks cool. And I think so many of the crafters in the Craft 2.0 world, we do stuff because it's fun, it's pretty, we like making it, we make it for ourselves. The fact that people want to buy it has actually become a little bit of a shock to quite a few of us. That wasn't really what we expected when we all started crafting. So this whole making money side of things is becoming quite enjoyable.
Sweet. Yeah. It's great. A lot of retailers come to these fairs now to source product and that sort of thing. And I think one of the key things for me is that you can buy everything. You can buy it all for $2 at the warehouse. You don't need to make a thing, you know. But we appreciate that people put energy into making things, you know, that things are a bit special and a bit, yeah, loved.
I mean, I sell jewellery and I make jewellery and it's got my own little twist on it. But if I'm at a fair, like, say, the Thornton Fair or the Petone Fair, if I'm next to someone who's importing stuff, I'm never going to sell anything because so many people just want to buy the cheapest thing around. So one of the special things about Craft 2.0 is it has to be New Zealand made. You have to have made it. If you've imported some goods to put together to make your thing, that's cool, but everything there is original. Everything you get at the fair is a one-off. So I can sell 10 different necklaces, but none of them will ever be the same.
Do you think that this is sort of a reaction to that, to the state of the economy in terms of how we buy things these days?
Yeah, it's. I think it's a little bit perverse, and I quite like that you can buy everything, and it does cost nothing, and we choose not to. You know, we're still consumers and we still love buying things and shopping. But honestly, coming home from a craft fair with I bought beautiful cushions, I bought beautiful jewellery. It's so satisfying and it's the stuff that you find in designer boutiques half the time as well, except that you meet the maker.
I guess that sort of brings you to my next question, which was, there is a traditional craft community there who probably spend a lot of time at haberdashery stores and that sort of thing. How do you interact with them?
We had a few inquiries from some of them at our craft fair, and how do we interact? We admire their skills.
Look, Everyone does different things. And to me, the stuff that they do is very special for their world, but it's not the world that we live in. I mean, just as I'm not interested in a doll made with hair and is just bizarre, they're probably not interested in me making an Lechnos out of LED lights. So it's just two different worlds, and yeah. It's two different communities. Some people make the transition between the two, but Craft 2.0 is a state of mind, as well as a, you know, just being a craft fair.
Russ said something to me yesterday about some guy who had made a video player that could feed his pets an old VCR.
That sounds great.
Would that be craft, or is that something else entirely?
I think it is craft, yeah. On a level, yeah.
I think transforming the function of one thing into another is quite a crafty concept, and I think that sounds brilliant. I mean, it's the whole, you know, what's art as well, and I think the craft, if you call it craft, then it's craft, you know, if you've made it with true intentions.
I understand that you've got a badge machine.
I have, and what's interesting is I remember in the 70s, and you know, obviously I wasn't even born then. Back in the 70s, everyone had badges and badges, but then in the 80s, having a badge was a really punk rock kind of thing. But I ended up investing in a badge machine this year, got myself about 10,000 badge parts, and I just pick any old images I want, as long as they're not copyrighted, of course, and I turn them into badges. I also turn them into magnets, and I turn them into buttons using my badge machine. And that whole business has just gone off for me, and I'm really enjoying it. I just love the whole thing of thinking, that's a really fun image. I might see if people want that in a badge. So my most recent one was Princess Diana, and everyone loved that. That sold out, as did Audrey Hepburn. But also I have some Winnie the Pooh images, and they sell out. And it's really quite interesting interacting with people when you're selling and seeing what people like. And people say, are you going to have this at the next fair? And I go, oh, okay, so I do. And so a lot of what I end up doing with my badges is what people ask me to do.
What does a badge machine look like?
A badge machine is a metal contraption that you just push up and down. You put in a back disc, you put in your picture, you put in some cover, and you just push the machine down, switch it around, push it down again, and your badge just pops out.
It looks like a juicer.
A juicer, yes.
Doesn't it? It has a lever
like a juicer. Awesome. Where would you get something like that from?
I don't know if anywhere in New Zealand you can get a badge machine, so at the moment you have to get it from the States. So you have to go through, I got to learn things about customs and importing and all of that sort of stuff, which was quite scary and raised the price of my badge machine horrendously, but it was worth it. It was really fun. I had to do all my research online, made my order online, and then just cross fingers that got what I got was going to be the right thing.
Cool. And so what are the plans? Another fair on the way?
Very much so. At the moment, we're just in discussions with the Douse as to how soon we can do it. I think we're hoping we're going to be maybe four times a year, maybe three. And also we're going to pull together, trying to bring people once a month, different crafters, where we can all get together, craft, talk, and so really build that community.
That's it. Awesome. Hey, well, best of luck with it all.
Why, thank you.
I'll have to come along and bring some... Oh, no, I can't bring jam.
You can bring jam.
You can bring jam, because you're a guy, so you doing jam is different.
Yeah.
Is there a different set of rules? Is it sort of, if it might be sort of vaguely ironic, I could get away with it, possibly?
Yeah, you yep. probably could.
Yep.
You could call it man jam.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll sell much man jam.
Immediately makes
TikTok
like.
Man jam indeed. Craft 2.0 will be staged again at the Douse on August the 18th and December the 15th. If you're interested, just get over to craft2.org. You may also wish to sample some version of Martha's life at her blog, wanderharland.blogspot.com.